From the KTO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. At a news conference yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy again suggested he could order Alaska lawmakers into a special session unless they start advancing his batch of criminal justice bills. Dunleavy put a tough-on-crime approach at the center of his campaign last year, and at the start of the legislative session in January, he proposed four different bills. One toughens penalties for certain sex crimes. A second boosts possible sentences for drug and other types of crimes. Two others allow for tougher bail, probation, and parole conditions. But none of the bills has passed the House or Senate. In the House, all the bills are still stuck in their first committee. If that doesn't change, Dunleavy says he won't take the idea of a special session off the table.
The people of Alaska, I believe, right now demand that we get these bills that we filed moving and out before the session is over. We have plenty of time to do that, and we are imploring once again that the legislature move our crime package.
Dunleavy made a similar pitch to lawmakers earlier this month, saying there will be no session-ending deal without action on his crime bills or his constitutional amendments on state finances and the PFD. But a key state House member says the changes Dunleavy wants are likely too ambitious to get all of them done this year, even if some of them are likely to have support to pass. Anchorage Democrat Matt Klayman chairs the House committee where two of Dunleavy's bills are stuck, and he told reporters Monday that the governor is going to have to compromise.
You know, we asked the governor, okay, you've got four massive crime bills. What are your priorities for these? And the answer we get is all of them. He wants everything. Well, I've been around here long enough to know that you sometimes have to make choices.
Klayman has been a defender of the changes to state law that were in SB 91, a 2016 overhaul of Alaska's criminal justice system. The changes stemmed from the idea, supported by data, that longer jail and prison sentences won't make someone less likely to commit another crime. Klayman says he supports tough penalties for the most serious offenses like murder, but he says his constituents prefer to spend money on drug treatment rather than pay to keep more addicts in prison for longer periods. Klayman says one thing lawmakers should do to enhance public safety is pass legislation to give police and firefighters better retirement benefits. Dunleavy's spokesman didn't immediately respond when asked if the governor supports that policy. Last summer, Juneau saw a spike in the number of complaints made to state regulators about cruise ship emissions. With another cruise season about to begin, the tourism industry and the city are both looking at ways to respond to public concerns about air quality. KTO's Adeline Baxter has more.
John Binkley, executive director of Cruise Lines International Association Alaska, said the cruise industry is committed to addressing complaints about Juneau's air quality. One solution they're trying out is adjusting schedules to reduce the amount of time ships spend waiting for other ships to leave so they can dock, especially on days with more boat traffic.
And so this year, instead of idling out there and starting to tender early, they'll wait till the other ship is ready to leave, then come into the harbor. The first ship will leave and the second ship will come right into dock.
Binkley was speaking at a public forum about tourism sustainability last week. Community member Carla Hart brought up the state's Ocean Ranger program that places inspectors on board cruise ships to monitor pollution. It's facing potential cuts from the legislature after this summer. She asked Binkley to do something about it.
I'm wondering if you would commit your political power, which I have seen in action in the Capitol, to go up there and make sure that the Ocean Ranger program stays in effect.
But Binkley said his industry never supported the Ocean Rangers to begin with, even if it has learned to live with the program since voters approved using the state cruise ship passenger fee to pay for it in 2006.
But that's really a policy question for the legislature and for the administration. And from our perspective, if their policy is to keep them on board, we're fine with that. If their policy is to not have them on board, we're fine with that. So either way, we're happy with the outcome.
Meanwhile, one thing the city is proposing to do about air quality issues downtown is commission a $250,000 study on what it would take to expand shore power access at the cruise ship docks. That would allow more large cruise ships to run on local hydroelectric power instead of running their engines while in port. Some people think Juneau has spent enough time studying shore power and are pushing for the city to start doing it. Andy Romanoff of Renewable Juneau handed out buttons saying plug them in at the Sustainability Forum. He asked the panel to support local efforts to electrify more docks.
You know, there's a large segment of Juneau's population who's basically sick and tired of the smoke and the congestion and the health impacts of the summer ships.
Romanoff says the city needs to stop stalling and move ahead on expanding shore power, like other port communities already have. He pointed out that a study has already been done as recently as 2016. He's also frustrated because the Juneau Commission on Sustainability submitted a proposal to use $3.5 million in passenger fees for design and construction for another electrified dock.
We know what works, we know how to do it, and it's pretty easy to find out who out there can do it, and so it's just time to do it.
The first cruise ship of the season arrives Sunday. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Authorities are investigating a suspected arson after an explosion and fire broke out yesterday morning at a commercial building on Glacier Avenue. According to the Juneau Police Department, multiple calls came in around 9:11 a.m. reporting an explosion and large flames coming from a storage shed on the side of the building that houses the gym and J&J Deli. The building owner told responders the shed was used to store ice melt equipment. Assistant Chief Todd Chambers said sprinklers in the shed activated and people nearby rushed to help. An AEL&P crew and maintenance staff from Harborview Elementary across the street managed to put out the flames with fire extinguishers before Capital City Fire Rescue crews arrived, but they quickly reignited. That's part of why they think the fire may have been intentionally set.
That's one of the contributing factors into why, because the makeup of that particular space was fairly simple, and there was nothing in there that should have burned like that.
Chambers said they managed to put out the fire relatively quickly. The fire marshal investigated the incident and determined that an explosion inside the shed caused the fire. Chambers said the fire marshal will work with Juneau Police Department to investigate.
We did have a report that there was video footage from Harborview's camera, which is a long ways away. And there's other cameras in the area that they're going to be looking into to see if they have available footage.
Chambers said the fire was mostly confined to the shed, but the building did sustain some water damage on the lower level. The three businesses in there reopened Monday. Five former nurses at Homer's Hospital allege in a lawsuit that they were edged out of their jobs in favor of younger, less expensive replacements. KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports.
The former nurses, all in their 50s, accuse South Peninsula Hospital management of forcing them out of their jobs in favor of junior replacements. They referred to it as a scheme to save the hospital money, which amounted to age discrimination. It accuses their boss of arbitrarily firing them or bullying them into quitting, and that the hospital should be liable for those actions. The lawsuit was filed by Louise St. Laurent and Chris Long, who worked as co-assistant managers of Homer Hospital's surgical services. Laurent alleges that her contract was abruptly canceled after she asked about benefits in late 2017. Her counterpart, Long, says he was let go for, quote, economic reasons last year. He said he reapplied when his job was posted months later, but said he never received an interview despite a glowing reference written by his superiors when he left. He said he complained to then-CEO Joe Wooden, who vowed to investigate, but nothing came of it. Other plaintiffs include former anesthesia nurse Brian Miller. He alleges he was bullied by the chief nursing officer and faced false accusations against him that were not detailed in the complaint. He claims this forced him to resign. Two former nurses, Lori Stargell and Catherine White, also alleged bullying and said they were laid off in favor of less experienced replacements. Several complaints were filed with the hospital union, Teamsters Local 959, the complaint says, seven of which are pending. South Peninsula Hospital Management declined to comment. A spokeswoman said the hospital had not seen the lawsuit. Anchorage law firm Flanagan & Bataille, which filed the lawsuit in Homer District Court, also did not want to talk. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
The state is halting its plans to privatize an Anchorage psychiatric facility under a no-bid contract that has come under scrutiny. According to the Anchorage Daily News, Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum announced the change at a press conference yesterday afternoon. He said that while the Tennessee-based private company WellPath will continue to manage the Alaska Psychiatric Institute for the next several months, the state will open private operation of the facility to a competitive bidding process. The department also announced the facility has a new leader. According to a press release, Matt Dammeyer has started as CEO of API as of yesterday. Dammeyer spent the last 10 years at Central Peninsula Hospital in Soldotna, according to the release, and his priority will be growing API's bed capacity. API's problems have grown especially acute in the last several months with staffing shortages, reports of mistreated patients, and substandard working conditions for employees. And finally, weather forecast tonight. Rain and snow showers becoming all snow after 4 a.m. Some thunder is also possible. Patchy fog after 4 a.m. That's the latest from the KTO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea.